all for your glory. The sick are healed, the soul is filled, the battle has been won. On your promise I stand, and in faith I believe it, that what I pray in your name.
Beyond what we could ever ask or think. That's what you call a God who over-answers prayer. Gives you more than what you even thought. He does it better than what you even requested. Isn't that just like our God? He over-answers prayer. He does it better than we could ever do it. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, musicians and singers, for that good anointed music. This time we're going to dismiss our children to Children's Church, age 5 to 11. Those of you that are going on the mission trip next week, I believe everyone was here in the meeting. If you we're not here. We need to give you a list. We need to talk with you just for a few minutes about things you need for the mission trip. I'm going to be preaching this morning on what's going on today in our world. I'm going to be dealing with the conflict in the Middle East. I'm going to be going to three different areas: Matthew 24, Ezekiel 38, and then Daniel chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 24, Ezekiel 38, and Daniel 7. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse number 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against them, and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, and bring thee forth in thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords. And then in Daniel chapter number 7 and verse number 5, one verse of scripture here. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth of it, between its teeth of it. And they said, thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you again for the anointing that destroys the enemy's yoke. We thank you for this music and singing this morning. Lord, it's been refreshing to our soul. I believe it's broke up that fallow ground, preparing the ground for the seed of the word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us today. Speak to us by your spirit. We ask you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Verse number 5 again out of Daniel 7. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said, thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. I'm going to preach to you this morning on tracking the rushing bear in biblical prophecy. Tracking the rushing bear in biblical prophecy. What we're seeing today is very exciting news. I know it's very sad for the Ukrainian people, these people who have nothing to provoke this wicked empire. But it's exciting because whenever we see all of these things, Jesus said, do one thing, look up, for your redemption is drawing nigh. You don't have to worry about all these things coming to pass, for we know that the church of the living God has an evacuation system planned by Jesus Christ himself. It's called the rapture, and that's what we need to be looking to today, the rapture of the church of the living God. But you and I, as we look around and we see these things beginning to unfold, we are literally watching one biblical prophecy after another take place. It's exciting to me. You know, I'm only 46 years of age, but since I was a little boy, they've been preaching on biblical prophecy. But it is unprecedented what's taking place right now and the speed at which it's taking place. It first started out with COVID-19, and I can tell you that is a part of biblical prophecy. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, he deals with famines and pestilences. Pestilences are plagues, diseases that will attack. Listen to me. I knew from the beginning that it was going to have an overreach, a far reach to every part of the world. And this is the very first thing I've ever seen in my lifetime, COVID-19, that has reached every human, and one, it's affected every human to one degree or another in the world. It's unified today. And I can tell you it's moving us closer and closer to the mark of the beast. Today, they're talking about a global currency. And make no mistake about it, it's coming. I don't know when it's coming. I'm not going to try to give you a word or a time when that global currency is coming, but it is coming. Right now, I'm seeing news report after news report of the microchip. They're talking about the microchip, not just using it as a world currency or to track your finances, but to tell whether or not you have had the vaccination. Let me tell you, it's all moving towards the mark of the beast, the second coming. Oh, but church, it is our finest hour. We're getting ready for the blessed hope to get out of this place. This world don't belong to me. It's their world. My world is laid up beyond the blue, ladies and gentlemen. God himself has prepared a place. On the heels of these two prophecies, COVID-19 plagues and the mark of the beast, I believe that it's coming. Or is a prophecy that's taking place today, and that is between Russia and Ukraine. It is a war. Jesus said you would hear of wars and rumors of wars, but this is no ordinary war. I want to be very careful this morning not to overstate. I want to be very careful not to give dates or times or in certain areas absolutes. The only absolute that we can give is what's written in the Word of God. But I can tell you, this looks like that. Amen. I'm telling you, it looks like the Russian bear has risen up again and she's ready to start making her move. As we know, Russia right now is fulfilling a prophecy that is given out of Ezekiel 38. Now, I want to say this again. I'm not saying that this is Gog and Magog, but I will say this, that we are moving towards that, and I believe that if Vladimir Putin is not the Gog, he is the man that is preparing the way for Gog, which is the leader of Russia. As we look at biblical prophecy in Ezekiel 38, Ezekiel gives a prophecy about this Gog and Magog joining up with other nations in the end times, and they're going to come against Israel. It says in Ezekiel 38 and 15, "And thou shalt come from thy place out of the north parts, and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great army and a mighty army." Can you put that map up, Brother Darren, for about 5 minutes? You have to understand that whenever you look at directions in the Word of God, Israel is always the center of direction. Whenever God gives a direction from the east, the north, the south, he's talking about the direction starting with Israel because it's the center of the world. Listen to me. I know that God has picked up a Gentile church because Israel's rejected God, but God's going to revisit his people. And we know that according to the word that 144,000 Jews is going to be saved in tribulation. Amen. God's going to come back and revisit them. But Israel is still the apple of his eye. And Israel still is living in that earthly promise. The heavenly promise is to the blood-bought child of God, but they're still living in that earthly promise. And those who bless Israel, God will bless. Those who curse Israel, God will curse. Listen, the word of God is written, it's settled, and it is established in heaven. Here we put this map on the screen. Why do we believe that Russia is Magog? Because it is exactly north, the furthest part, exactly. If you look at Israel, at the very bottom, the blue area, you look exactly the furthest part of the north is Moscow. Every biblical scholar that I've read behind believes that Russia is Magog. Listen, this is exciting to me. What's happening to those poor Ukrainian people is not exciting. But I can tell you, this thing is coming to a head. I believe, according to the word of God, this leader of Russia will be the king of the north, according to Daniel chapter 11 and 40. The king of the north. So we know that this king of the north, right before they reach down and try to attack Israel, they're going to join with these Islamic nations around Israel and around Magog, and they're going to come against Israel. I'll share with that a little bit more in a little bit, but it's not going to end up good for them. Listen to me, there is no weapon formed against you and I as a child of God that can prosper, nor against Israel. When God is with you, there is nothing the devil can do to destroy you. Is Vladimir Putin Gog? I don't know. But he sure looks like he could be a Gog-esque, or somebody moving up into that position. It is possible for Putin to be setting up to move into this place. Now, he is moving in the area to, he's already attacked Ukraine. Listen, he's dreaming of the former Soviet Union. This is what Vladimir Putin's dream is, because whenever the Iron Curtain came down in the early 90s, he was a part of the KGB. He dreams to pull those European nations together that was once the USSR and have that world domination. But listen, it's taking place right now. I don't know what's going to happen in the Ukraine, but I do know this, that everything that's happening right now looks like they're strengthening together to begin to move south and to take the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we ought to start looking up, because it's happening right now. This was written in the book of Ezekiel 2,500 years ago. I don't believe Ezekiel just got lucky. Things that are taking place today. Listen, if you're an atheist watching on Facebook, or you're an atheist in this place today, or a backslider, I'd be getting right with God right here, right now. This thing is beginning to take place. Listen, there are over 1,000 biblical prophecies in the Word of God. 500 have already been fulfilled with 100% accuracy. Listen, I don't know if it's Gog and Magog. I do believe Russia is Magog, and I do believe that the leader of Russia will be Gog, and they will be unifying nations around them. Listen, Ezekiel 38 and 4. He said, I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws and bring thee forth. You know, it seems as if this is all Putin's plan, but I can tell you, whenever God gets ready to have his prophecies fulfilled, he's going to pull that Russia leadership down. He may think it's his idea, but the Bible said God's going to put hooks in their jaws. Amen? And I can tell you right now, God is going to have his plan fulfilled. What is the plan of God? It is moving towards the end times. I've got some bad news for you that are in love with this earth. It's going to melt with a fervent heat one day. That's going to be the end result of this earth. But I've got good news for those who have laid their treasure up in heaven, where moth doesn't corrupt and thieves don't break in and steal. We're about to get out of this place. Heaven is our home. And we need to be encouraged, and we need to look up. Yes, we need to pray for the Ukrainian people. But I say, Lord, bring this on speedily. Lord, whatever you want, I agree with you. It is exciting, because all prophecies are beginning to be fulfilled. In Daniel chapter 7, the prophet speaks of four beasts coming out of the sea. It refers to different nations. Some scholars believe that the lion that has eagle's wings represent the United Kingdom and the United States of America. But all scholars believe, because of the direction and the words that we're using in the book of Ezekiel and the book of Daniel, that the bear that raised itself up on one side is Russia. And let me say to you today that this Russian bear is moving through the woods right now. And we must track him. We must watch him. Whenever we look at Israel, we can begin to see things according to biblical prophecy. But Russia is the bear in Scripture. It's the king of the north, according to Daniel chapter 11. Some of you are old enough to remember the Cold War. I remember it as a little boy. I remember Ronald Reagan. Man, he was my hero when I was 5 years old. I still remember his speeches whenever I'd watch him on the news. I mean, he inspired me. And he told Gorbachev, he said, that wall's a coming down. He might have been an actor, but he had more boldness than a lot of these clowns that are in the White House today. And I can tell you, that wall ended up coming down. And the Cold War was quickly over with. Why? Because there was a leader who was not afraid to stand up to the enemy. Listen, men of God, women of God, our passivity, we must become like Christ, love and be gentle, but we must not allow the enemy to take our families. We must not be play easy games with the devil. It's time that we, as the people of God, the word said, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, but the violent takes it by force. We must be bold in our proclamation. We must be bold in our prayers. We must be bold in our decisions. During the 1984 presidential campaign, candidate Ronald Reagan used a television commercial that became known for its compelling opening line. Here's what he said. The bear is in the woods. The ad featured a grizzly bear wandering menacingly through a forest while the narrator said, the bear is in the woods. For some people, the bear is easy to see. Others don't see it at all. Some people say the bear is tame. Others say it is vicious and dangerous. Since no one can really be sure who's right, isn't it smart to be as strong as the bear? Is there a bear? A man appears in the closing scene and the bear takes a step back. The captivating ad concludes with a picture of Reagan and the tagline, Ronald Reagan, prepare for peace. Listen to me today. There is a bear in the woods today. And I believe that the enemy is working his plan. But just like whenever Jesus was going to go to the cross, that was the plan of God. Although the enemy was an instrument and using men to kill Jesus, it was the plan of God for my Jesus to go to the cross. If he had not gone to the cross, we would all be doomed and damned for a devil's hell. I love that old cross. Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you it is God's plan what's taking place. I believe that it could be the hook in the jaw pulling Putin down. I am praying that his army will be confused because it may not be. Let God's plan be fully executed. In Ezekiel chapter 37, a major end time prophecy was fulfilled. Israel became a nation in 1948. This is one of the greatest 20th century prophecies that ever took place. There's 6 million Jews right now in Israel. That's half of the Jews in the world. 6 million are currently in Israel. And during this 1948 war, you remember the Six-Day War. They won in 1967, but they became a nation in 1948. The next chapter from Ezekiel 37 to 38 deals with the Gog and Magog War. So stay with me today. They became a nation in 1948. This was the bone upon bone that the vision Ezekiel saw. This was supernatural. Supernatural. Israel was gone, ladies and gentlemen. She was gone. She was even losing all of the culture. The people had been scattered throughout the land, but God brought them back together. Listen, that gives me chill bumps on top of chill bumps. Why? Because God's word is going to be accomplished. It was a prophecy that was fulfilled. The next prophecy is Ezekiel 38, the Gog and the Magog War. When will this battle take place, Brother Matt? Will it take place before the rapture or after the rapture? I don't want you to confuse the battle of Gog and Magog with the battle of Armageddon. Two different wars. The battle of Armageddon is at the end of the seven-year tribulation. But the battle of Gog and Magog is going to take place right before tribulation or right after. You read different commentaries, they give you different thoughts. I believe that the rapture is going to take place first. That's my opinion. I believe it's going to take place, and then we're going to see them attack Israel. And I'll give you the results of that. It doesn't really matter, ladies and gentlemen, but I can tell you the war itself and the fact that Russia's doing what she's doing, it is a sign that Jesus is coming back soon. Do you hear me? We got to start looking up. Jesus is coming soon. There is no doubt. I'm about to leave this old world with a shout. I believe that my body that is mortal is going to put on immortality, and I'm going to be changed. I'm excited today because I see the signs of the times everywhere. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Are you ready? How can you know if you're ready for the rapture? Is there anything you'd change before tonight's service? Listen, if there is, you may not be ready. If there's any sin that's lurking in that heart, you need to repent, get it under the blood. Jesus is coming. I want to track the bear just for a few moments. Again, Magog is Russia. Gog is the leader. Gog actually means leader or an authoritative figure over a country. Persia is Iran. You already know that Iran has made the statement that they want to annihilate Israel. Oh, yeah. They want to wipe them off the face of the map. As a matter of fact, they said that they want to drive them into the Mediterranean Sea. But listen, it ain't going to happen. How do you know, Brother Matt? How do you know that they can withstand all of these Islamic forces? How do you know that they're going to overcome? Because the Bible says they are. And I'll share that in just a minute. What is the motivation to destroy Israel? Why do they hate Israel so much? Well, whenever Gog and Magog, the leader of Russia, joins together with this axis of evil, they're going to move down. And I believe there's three things that they want to destroy Israel over. First of all, the Muslim wants complete control of that Temple Mount. Jerusalem is considered their holy land. It's also the holy land for the Jew and for the Christian. But listen to me today, they're not going to get control of that Temple Mount. Listen, number two, they want the oil and the gas reserves in underneath Israel's ground. They say that Israel has enough natural gas to run their vehicles for over 100 years. And I can tell you, in that Middle East, oil and gas is what they want. And I believe that's part of what's going to draw Russia down because of their greed, because they're power hungry. They're going to be pulled down. And number three is because everybody hates the Jews. Well, listen, they hated Jesus, so there is no surprise there. Listen, anti-Semitism is always been an issue in the world. Hitler hated the Jews. The world hates the Jews. A lot of people in America hate the Jews. But listen, again, I say, the Word says if you bless Israel, God will bless you. I didn't say that they're saved. I don't believe like John Hagee. I say about 95% I agree with him. But I do not believe just because you're a Jew, you're going to have entrance into heaven. No, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I don't believe you're going to get in outside of the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is still the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. Yes, God loves the Jew, and they are his earthly promise, but the church is his heavenly promise. We are saved, being saved, and we're going to be saved. They hate the Jews. They think they're going to destroy them. They want to destroy them, but devil, I got bad news for you. Bad for you, good for us. You're not going to. Today, Putin is doing exactly what Hitler did. You remember, if you studied history, what Hitler did. Hitler annexed Austria, and then he invaded Poland. It looks almost exactly what Putin is doing right now. He annexed Austria, just made it part of his, just like Putin in 2004 annexed Crimea, and now he's invading the Ukraine. Almost the identical scenario. So what am I trying to say? I am saying today, back then, everybody just stood around and did nothing. They just watched Hitler do that. And it started World War II, and we ended up losing 50 million people on the planet. Whenever you have passive leaders that do nothing, that let everybody do whatever they want to do, you're going to start a World War III. Again, I say the kingdom of heaven, whether it be in your personal home, in your spiritual life, the kingdom of heaven, it may suffer violence, but the violent takes it by force. Somebody needs to stand up, man up, and come against this wicked regime. China is also watching the weakness of America and the world. You know that they just met just a few days ago, the leader of China and Putin. They're in cahoots with one another. He is walking around and he's making friends with all of this Islamic world, China. They're watching to see how it's going to shake down when it comes to the Ukraine. Right now, China has just now flew her planes in airspace in Taiwan because China wants to take Taiwan. Listen, it's going to open up a World War III. I'm not here today to make you feel bad or to scare you, but he said, when you see these signs, look up, church. Look up. It's time to look up. Listen, if they take Taiwan, there are these, I don't know exactly what it is, but Taiwan makes a lot of these microchips or certain parts that go in almost every automobile in the world. China wants that power. Russia wants that power. They all want that power. Iran is salivating right now to get their hands on nuclear weapons. They want to attack Israel, and they want weapons that can reach the U.S. Do you hear me? I said, Iran wants to destroy us. Jesus said, when you see these things, look up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. All these nations will be led by the Russian bear. I'm not saying, again, this is Gog and Magog war, but it is certainly, if it's not, it is a prelude. Do you hear me? If it's not that war, it is a prelude because it looks just like Ezekiel chapter 38. Oh, listen, why should the Christian understand biblical prophecy, Brother Matt? Well, why should we even know this if we're going to be raptured? Well, it's the same reason Paul had to explain in detail to the church of the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, because when they started seeing and hearing about these end time things, they got shook in their spirit. Whenever you know what's going to, listen, I've read the last page. I studied the prophecy. When you know and you're educated in the things of God, it produces a hope. It produces a clarity of mind and a confidence in your spirit. Not a confidence in ourselves, but we know what God's going to do, because one thing God cannot do, and that is lie. Heaven and earth one day is going to pass away, but God's word is going to endure forever. Hear me, my friend, the bear is on the move. The bear seeks to devour much flesh. Daniel 11 and 40 describes Russia as the king of the north. Listen to me today. He is, they say, the wealthiest man in the world. $200 billion is what he's worth. You know how he got that wealth? He stole it from his people. He's imprisoned some of the most wealthy men in Russia and stole their wealth. I read something that Robert Kraft, he's a wicked man too, but he is the owner of the New England Patriots. Robert Kraft met Vladimir Putin after they won the Super Bowl, and he showed him his ring. Vladimir took it and put it in his pocket, and he was just showing him. He tried to get the ring back, and they said, you better not try to get the ring back. He said, whatever he wants, he takes. And this is how the devil has, whenever a man's demon possessed, that's just the way it is. I'm telling you today, whenever a man is away from God, like this man is away from God, these people as a whole are away from God, anything goes. Oh, but again, church, what we need to do is not worry, not fret, not fear, but we need to be ready. We need to be watching. We need not get cold and indifferent in our soul. We need not fall in love with this world. Come on, church. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming soon. It's happening right now. Vladimir Putin is many things. He was a KGB officer from 1975 to 1992. So he has that mentality. He's a KGB officer, a master politician, a multi-billionaire, a ruthless leader. But above all, Vladimir Putin is a man with a plan. He has an idea of what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. His plan is to unmake the world that has stood since the end of the Cold War, especially in the Europe area, and replace it with the one where Russia has the power, the influence, the military strength to get his way on any issue. In light of Putin's actions, many have speculated whether he could be the Russian leader as known as Gog in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Again, we don't know, but it looks like it could be. So what will happen to Israel once they're attacked, if it is the Gog and Magog war. I'm glad that you asked because I've been waiting to tell you the whole message. What's going to happen to Israel if Russia, that has 160 million people, who has the second most powerful military in the world next to the United States, who has an alliance of Iran and Turkey and the southern part of Africa and all these nations, how in the world could Israel stand when they are surrounded, when they have everybody coming against them? It is impossible. It ain't no David and Goliath situation. It's the odds are far greater than that. Well, I can tell you, according to the word of God, Russia or whoever attacks Israel in the Gog and Magog war is in trouble. God puts a hook in their jaw, pulls them down, but they are in trouble when they attack. When the Russian-led horde descends on Israel, it will look like Israel is finished. That's the way God will set it up oftentimes. It'll look like it is our last rendezvous. But it's not. It looks like they're finished. And all of a sudden, God begins to move. Surprised and surrounded, the Israelites will be seized by unimaginable panic. Nothing in Israel's modern history will compare. Not the Six-Day War in 1967. Not the Yom Kippur War in 1973. Yet in a stunning reversal of fortunes, the invisible invaders who come to possess the mountains of Israel will perish on the same mountains. The very one that thought that they were going to destroy Israel will die on those mountains. Ezekiel 38 and 39 describes an overwhelming, sudden destruction when the forces of Gog meet God. What looks like a massive mismatch between Russia and Israel now becomes an infinitely greater mismatch as Gog faces the living God. Come on, church. I'm telling you, this is just a man. These are just people with mortal weapons. But God is the creator of the universe. He has that. One angel could destroy every single one of them. But let me show you how God destroys them. It's found in Ezekiel 38, 18. And I'm going to break it down for you. And it shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and my fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things and that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down and the steep places shall fall and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilences, that's plagues, diseases, and with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon many people that are there with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Let me break it down very quickly. God is going to rise up in his fury to annihilate these invaders, employing four catastrophic things to destroy Russia and their Islamic allies. Number one, in verse number 19 and 20 that I just read you, it's a shaking, a great earthquake. God is going to use a massive tremor with its epicenter in Israel to spread fear and confusion throughout the ranks of the Russian military machine. God will defeat and disorient the invading forces. Don't that make you feel good? Listen, church, God knows what he's doing. Number two, there's going to be a slaughter. It's found in verse 21. Infighting among the troops of various nations, in the chaos of the battle, in the shaking of the earth under their feet, the Russian forces and their allies will turn against each other. Listen, they'll be so confused that they're going to turn against each other. The Islamic forces against the Russian forces, Russian against Russian, and they're going to kill one another. It reminds me of what happened whenever Gideon blew that, whenever they broke those pots and they blew the trumpet. Listen, God's going to bring confusion. And number three, sickness and disease. Verse number 22, the ruin of the invaders will be accelerated by additional supernatural diseases. I don't know what it's going to be, but it's going to be nasty. They're going to get struck with some bad plagues. And number four, storms, torrential rains, hailstones. I read one writer said that the hailstones are going to be so big, they're going to be killed. Everyone who does not die in the other ways that God's going to kill them, the hailstones are going to get everybody else. Only 1/6 of the army will survive. Listen to me today. We can't fight against God. Listen, no army, no individual, you might as well just go ahead and give in. If you fall on that rock, oh, you'll be broken. But if it falls on you, he's going to grind you to powder. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? Can someone come to the piano? Everything that you see around you, this is exciting times because it is the end times. We need not be afraid. The only time you need to fear is if you're not right and ready for the rapture of the church. I'm preaching the truth to you today. If you're not ready, I would be a nervous wreck. I wouldn't be able to sleep at nighttime. I wouldn't be able to enjoy my lunch this afternoon. Because this thing is wrapping up. The rapture could take place today. Listen to me today. This is a sign. Look at all of these signs are taking place. I just named 3 small signs. Multiple signs of the times are everywhere. We are there. I'm seeing it in the end times, in my lifetime, and it's happening so fast. They're happening. The signs of the times are everywhere. Harvest Time Church, it's time to look up. It's time to be ready. Watch it. Those watching my Facebook, if you're in a church, and you may be in a different state. If you're in a church that the preacher don't get under your skin every once in a while, you need to go to another church. Amen. He don't make you feel uncomfortable and make you feel bad every once in a while, you need to move on to another church. Listen, conviction is our best friend, ladies and gentlemen. Conviction is our best friend. Can we stand? My job as a pastor is to preach the whole counsel of God. This is exciting to me. I know that some people in the church, they don't know what to do with themselves because they're so in love with the world. They just want it a little bit longer down here. I just want 5 more. Give me 10 more years, Jesus. You don't even know what you're praying. You don't even know what you're saying. I ain't said it, but I can tell you a lot of people think it. Just give me 10 more years. Give me 20 more years. Can you wait a little bit longer? Oh, I don't want this to happen. I know it's going to happen, but let me tell you what's going on there when you feel that way. You're more caught up with the world than you are with that world which is to come. This world's secondary to us, church. The beautiful families, the homes that God's blessed us with, the grandchildren. But I want to get married first. I understand that. I did too. That's all secondary. But I just want a little bit more time. That's oftentimes a telltale sign. It's oftentimes a telltale sign where you are spiritually. I'm not saying you're backslid. But what I am saying is this. We need to be so caught up with Him, with Jesus. We need to long for His appearance in such a way that we cry as John cried, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Do you want Him to come? Are you ready? The Bible says that the trumpet's going to sound and we're going to be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye. You know how fast the twinkling of an eye is? 1/50th of a second. You can't even calculate that. 1/50th of a second. It's going to happen. When the rapture of the church takes place, there will be no time to say, oh God, forgive me. Jesus said over and over again to watch and pray, to be ready. Jesus said, if the goodman of the house would have known what hour the thief was going to break in and still, he would have watched. He'd have been ready. But he said, the Son of Man is going to come in an hour that you think not. Preparation is everything. Living each moment of every day like he's coming back that day. That used to be the cutting edge of the Pentecostal church. We preached on the imminent return of Christ because all the signs have been fulfilled. Everything's been fulfilled. There's nothing left that has to be fulfilled for the rapture of the church to take place. We used to live in that place. Listen, when I first got saved, every day I'd walk outside, I'd look up. I mean, there was such an expectancy. Is this the day he's going to come back? Wow. We ought to be like that. You say, well, Brother Matt, I don't want to be so earthly minded. Or heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good. It'll only last for about 2 days. You'll be over that pretty quick. When I see a little wildfire in the church, people look and go, oh man, that could be an issue. I just kind of watch for a little bit, because usually that wildfire, it goes out in a couple of days whenever you have to go to work, when you don't get enough sleep, when you forsake the altar. Listen, church. Every day we need to live like he's coming back that day. Here's how you can be ready. Every decision, everything you do. I'm not talking about bondage. I'm not talking about legalism. There's just something about living in a place where you're expecting him to come back. If you can transition your thinking every day, thinking, could this be the day that he comes back? I promise you, every decision that you make will be different. You'll put him first if you really think he might be coming back that day. All the excuses, I hear people say all the time, well, God knows my heart. God knows I love him. I close with this. Jesus said these words, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You cannot say, but I love the Lord and don't keep his word. Amen? Look for him every single day. It's happening, church. This is what we've been talking about, praying about. This is what they taught us in Sunday school. This is what we have been seeking the Lord over. We need to pray for those Ukrainian people. We need to pray for the Jewish people. We need to pray for our lost family members. We need to pray for our lost neighbors around us. It's happening. Amen. If we could just get one vision of hell, one of our family members in hell, a place where the fire's never quenched, the worm dies not, we'll get a burden again. We need a burden. We need a burden. I want us to come and find a place to pray around these altars this morning. If you're not right with God, get it under the blood today. But you can't just make a confession of faith. You've got to make up your mind. You're going to change some things. Repentance is two things. It's saying it with your mouth, and it's a change of conduct in your life. You can say it all day long with your mouth, but there's not a change of conduct, you didn't repent. Acts 3:19, he says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
I know he's coming back. Oh, I don't want to stay here. Old That's why I'm watching and waiting, seeking the Lord. I'm running.